go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I have a very, very special guest for you today. Today, we're going to actually peel back the covers a little bit and let you kind of know what podcasting is all about. So I would like to welcome my fantastic producer, Evan Johnson. Evan, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much, Steve, for having me on the podcast. It's always fun to jump on the other side of the mic and be a guest. Well, what I do, and you kind of mentioned this, but I'm a podcast producer. I edit and produce podcasts. I'm very lucky to be working on your show, Steve. It's a lot of fun. I work on some others as well. I've been doing this for years now. I started my business back in high school. My mom was a big inspiration for me. She taught me how to do it. She taught me how to edit, and then I took it from there. And yeah, that's what I do. I host my own personal show, Path to Podcast Success, and work on podcasts. Podcasts are my whole thing, having conversations and building relationships. So that's what I do.
That's awesome. If I get asked all the time, like, hey, why do you do the podcast? What's the purpose of it? And I've talked about numerous times kind of what my particular one is. But what do you see like as a business owner, entrepreneur, or even someone that's trying to brand themselves in a particular industry? Why should they start a podcast?
That is a loaded question for sure. There are many answers to that. I would say, first of all, a podcast is an incredible tool in the same way that a book can be an incredible tool, in that it establishes you as an expert in whatever your field is, right? If someone approaches you and you say, you drop that you have a podcast, well, that's going to elevate you in their eyes, because not everyone can just have a podcast. Or at least that's what, you know, a lot of people think. So it is an incredible tool as far as branding goes and as far as establishing yourself as an expert. But my personal favorite use for a podcast and how I primarily use my personal show is a little bit different than from what a lot of people do. And this is a potential that every podcast has, but not a lot of people take advantage of. And for me, I use my podcast as a networking tool. I use it to build strong and meaningful relationships with people that could either become potential clients for me or perhaps refer me potential clients. And it's kind of interesting. Not a lot of people think about this, but if you, let's say there's an entrepreneur out there, right? And you really want to connect with them and you shoot them a message. Hey, I love what you're doing. You want to jump on a call and chat for like half an hour? They're probably going to be like, no, who the hell are you? But if you have a podcast and you invite them on the podcast, they're probably going to say yes, and you get the same thing. You get, you know, an hour of their time or whatever. And so I have a client-based business, and so that is why this works for me, because my clients are people I have relationships with and I know quite well. And so this strategy that I'm talking about is an incredible foundation for that. If someone has less of a client-based business, if they're selling perhaps a course or another kind of one-off product or service, then the podcast would be, you know, the audience building tool, right? And so for them, I would say have guests on your podcast that have high or have large audiences themselves, and then be a guest on podcasts with large audiences. So do plenty of interview swaps with those kinds of people. And that's going to grow your audience pretty quickly. So that would be just some tips I have as far as the podcast goes. It's not for everybody, you know, and you have to know, of course, this is something we could dive into if you want, but I mean, you have to be clear and know why you're doing it, as with anything else in business. But if you are clear and you do want to have a podcast, then it is my personal favorite business building tool and audience building tool. And just overall, it is objectively a very good one. So that those are my opinions on podcasting.
No, that's awesome. I absolutely agree with you. for me, it's interesting. It's like, so you can talk about the why of why you got into it. And then after that, it's the what. So for me, the what was actually ended up being more important than the why. And the what I mean by is, what did I get out of it? What did it do for me? What benefits did I receive? And without even talking about the business standpoint of it that it's done for me, I could talk about from a personal standpoint. It's really interesting because while I've always been a talker pretty much all my life and always been, you know, in sales of some sort or another, when you sit down to a computer and you're going to record a solo episode, but I mean by myself, you know, just me talking about a particular topic, there is nothing more intimidating. I would much rather get on a stage and talk in front of a 1,000 or 2,000 people than sit in front of my computer with my microphone and try to record an episode. It's just very difficult, and it's gotten easier, but it's just something that it's very intimidating. And until you accept the fact that you just need to get it done and it doesn't need to be perfect, you'll sit there and delete, you know, 10 times, you'll make it to the 10, 15 minute mark, and then you'll just start recording, and then you'll stop and I got to start over. And I don't know how many times I did that in the beginning. And then finally I just said, you know what, is go back to the old, zero fucks given, and just that I just got to go. So, and since I've done that and gave myself permission to do that, it's been that, and I've learned so much about myself and dive into, and I'm, like you said, on the networking side, I've met a lot of great people and had just a lot of great conversations where it'll be funny because, you know, I'll be taking notes as I'm talking to these people just with ideas for my own business and those sorts of things, or just things that I've learned or whatnot. And it's just been such a great, fulfilling experience. I just can't recommend it enough to, you know, anybody that wants to get themselves out there in a particular industry.
Exactly. And, you know, we've all been there with recording those solo episodes and just recording it, deleting it, trying again 10 times before you release it. And that's one of the reasons why I love that. I only interview guests. I don't do solo episodes on my podcast because that's a lot. That has been my way to kind of bypass that, because it's a lot easier for me to kind of just let my guests create my content for me. You know what I mean? I just ask them questions and they talk about themselves, and it's awesome.
that is a great idea. I'll have to definitely do more of that. You know, it's really interesting because, you know, when you were talking about using this as a tool and talking about putting yourself out there this way, it's easy to forget that, okay, well, first impressions are everything. So when you get somebody listening to your podcast, a potential listener, one, it's, you got to try to make the content as good as you could and as relevant to your audience as you can. But then the other thing, which kind of brings into me hiring you, was wanting my podcast to be produced in such a way that they're pleasant to listen to, that everything's as it should be, that, you know, and that, you know, beyond what my abilities were, even though I've working right in the professional audio industry for years, podcasting's different. And while sure, you can order a $50 mic off Amazon and you can start recording on your computer and then, you know, edit it yourself with some free tools and pop it up, it's not going to be the same. So if you're going to use it for a business purpose, but what are the things you've seen before people have came to you, or what are the, shoot me some biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to trying to do things themselves and what some of the ramifications you've seen?
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, my business exists and services like what I provide exist, not because editing a podcast is the most difficult thing you can do, but because it is very time consuming. If you have a 40-minute long episode, well, it's going to take you at least 40 minutes to edit it, but, you know, it's going to take longer than that. So the number one, the people can do it themselves. And I do encourage people, especially entrepreneurs and business owners, if they don't have the resources to hire and outsource the podcast production to someone like myself, still do it, right? It's okay to still start and then hire when you can. But the reason why I also encourage people as soon as they can to hire someone like myself as soon as they can is that, like I said, it's very time consuming. And so it's just the classic outsource conversation as far as entrepreneurship goes, right? It's one of the biggest. So with your question, as far as mistakes, it's these entrepreneurs are spending hours each week producing their podcast when they could be spending those hours doing what's in their zone of genius. Shout out to Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, by the way, incredible book. They could be doing something in their zone of genius. They could be doing something that really brings their business forward in a very impactful way. Or they could be spending time with their family or something like that. while outsourcing it to someone who, frankly, I mean, you know, my business, I have been doing this for quite a long time. I even have a small team helping me now with a lot of the production. It's a legit thing. It's going pretty well. And we've been able to streamline the process so that we deliver a very high quality product in less time. And that is not something I think your average entrepreneur is going to spend the time and resources to just create for themselves when they have their own business to worry about. So that'd be the number one thing, is all that essentially wasted time when you could just have someone else do it for you faster and better. That's honestly the main thing.
I think it's like anything else in business or even just in life. You know, I used to have the attitude, you can talk, categorize it into the scarcity or abundance attitude, if you will. So with a scarcity attitude or mindset, you don't have the faith that you are going to be able to provide everything you need to provide. You don't have the faith that your business is going to work. So you're trying to minimize what you spend and how you do things. Same thing like for me, I used to always have the mindset, especially this was more at home than in my business, but it definitely was in my business too, that, you know what, why would I pay someone to do something that I'm capable of doing? Well, the thing I realized is, while I consider myself a fairly intelligent human and fairly decent at figuring things out, the amount of time I'm investing to figure these things out is, 20 times the investment if I would just pay an expert to do it. So the more I've embraced that in both my, my home life and my, as well as my, my business, the more it's been. Like even sometimes, little things, like for the first time this year, we hired a snow removal company for, at our home. I was amazed at how small of an investment was and how cheap it was each time they came. And it was some of the best money I've ever spent, because literally, like, I'm not going to buy I'm not going to buy a plow. I'm not going to buy this. I'm going to do it with a snowblower or something. And I'm going to invest. Some of these snowfalls would have been 2 or 3 hours of my time, and then end up spending, depending on the time, was 30, 40 bucks a time. I'll trade that any day of the week to have that time with my family, to have that time to relax, to have that other time. So it's just in the beginning.
We're all capable of doing all those things. We can all, unless, you have some sort of disability, like, we can all shovel snow. We can all do all these different tasks in our businesses. We can all figure out how to edit a podcast or answer our emails or write Facebook ad copy or, whatever. But so my follow-up to that is, why? You enjoy shoveling snow? You want to keep doing that? I live in California for a reason. I don't have to shovel snow. And if I lived in a place that did have snow, I would outsource it as soon as I could. So it takes, I think, maturing in the world of business, because it is very difficult to outsource what is essentially, your baby, right? I mean, that's your business. I've heard it referred to that many times. It's like your baby, right? And it's hard to trust someone else to come in and take over parts of that process. But, then I turn back around and say, well, do you send your children to public school? You're outsourcing their education. They're your actual babies. You know what I mean? So, like, it's okay to have other experts come in and do something, better and faster than what you could do.
Could not agree more. Well, let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about, now let's speak to the folks that already have a podcast. Okay, they already have a podcast. Say it's doing relatively well. They have everything down. What are some podcasts? I mean, you'd worked with, I'm sure, hundreds of podcasters over time. What are some of the best strategies that you've seen implemented, really to grow and to get the most out of their podcast?
So as far as audience growth, there are a number of different things you can do. Number one recommendation, I've mentioned this already, is doing interview swaps. So be strategic about their guests that you bring on, and see if those, if you can bring on guests who have a podcast themselves and, that podcast is fairly successful. I mean, yeah, you may not be able to get, Joe Rogan or someone on your podcast, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. But if you want to get someone, try to get someone on your podcast who has an audience, and then have them on your show and then be a guest on their show. And that way their listeners become your listeners and it gives you a big boost. I can't tell you, I don't pay crazy close attention to my numbers, just because, I mean, like I mentioned before, I mainly have my podcast for the connections I make with my guests. And, you know, I'm already doing, you know, I'm doing all the stuff I need to do to grow it. So I'm not looking obsessively each day. When I do look, I can always see like the guests I have on that have large audiences. I see these massive spikes in numbers that correlate with those guests and the days I release those episodes. So that would be my number one thing, my number one strategy to give to someone to grow their audience with podcasts like that, because it doesn't cost any money. You know, to do that, you just invite them on the podcast, be of service to them, and it'll work out. Otherwise, I mean, then as you continue to grow, then it evolves the same way any other marketing strategy evolves, whether you want to market a blog or an email list or a face or, you know, a new launch or whatever. I would say then there comes a point where you might want to bring in, you know, marketing director or marketing agency or someone to come in and really, really boost those numbers in that way. And they could probably speak on that even better than I could. But as far as someone who doesn't have perhaps the resources or the knowledge, focus on the guests. There's just so much gold and so much value in having these high level guests on. It does crazy things with your numbers. And, you know, assuming they also encourage them and make it easy as possible for them to post and share the episode, and then make sure you yourself share it too. You know, make the process easy for them, to be more likely to do it. So that's my number one recommendation. Focus on the guests.
Awesome. So what would the best advice you would give? First of all, I guess, how are you qualifying? How are you knowing? Like, sometimes you can't really tell, at least I can't tell. I don't know how to tell from the surface if a podcast is a, you know, well-listened audience, or if it's a, yeah, you know, beyond social media followers and stuff like that, is how to tell if a podcast is that successful. And then also tell me a little bit about the approach you would suggest people use. I mean, are we just hitting them in the DMs cold and saying, hey, you want to swap, or are we just trying to get them on our show first and hoping that sometime in the conversation, some goodwill happens and the offer comes up, or how would you strategize that?
So as far as finding the right people, you can tell sort of, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not going to just ask them, hey, what are your numbers? You know, like you can kind of tell if they look like they're put together, right? If you go on, let's say you're on Facebook, and I typically find my guests when Facebook pops up with like suggested friends, you know, I'll pay attention to those and I might browse that a bit just to look for guests. And if you go on someone's profile and they've got no bio, and they haven't posted anything since like their birthday a year ago or something, but you know, maybe it's listed there like have a business. Well, I'm probably not gonna reach out to that person. Doesn't really look like they have much of a social media presence. Maybe they work elsewhere, I don't know. But if someone has got a really professional looking profile picture, really professional looking cover photo, they've got a bio that very clearly indicates what they do, what they stand for, they have a website linked, they've been posting regularly about some, maybe even just personal life or personal life and business or whatever. Those people, it looks like they have their, you know, they have their shit together, it looks like. And so those people I will oftentimes reach out to. And so you can just kind of tell if they, really just depends. If they look like they have their stuff together, then I will. And if they resonate with me and I want to talk to them, I'll invite them on the podcast. And as far as actually doing that, yes, I do. I hit them up cold. I just send a message. I send them a friend request, and I have a, hand type each message individually to the person. I don't have a copy paste message. I don't automate it because it is very personal. I pick out something that I see on their profile or their website or their business that I like and that I resonate with, and I tell them that. I tell, you know, I introduce myself. I, you know, hey, you came up as a recommended friend, and it's great to connect. I saw that you were doing blank, 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 and I really resonate with that because blank, blank, blank. I think it is really cool what you're doing, blank, blank, blank. I've got a podcast. I would love for you to be a guest. It's called Path to Podcast Success. Here's what we talk about. I think you'd be an incredible guest. I think you'd have a lot of value to share. Let me know. And if they get the message, because sometimes, you know, I send a friend request at the same time, so maybe the message is lost. If they get the message and read it, it's almost a guaranteed yes. I haven't really had anyone, and I'm coming up on episode 100 now, and I've recorded more than that. I don't think I've ever had anyone say no. And the only people that have kind of said no, it's more of a not yet. They're like, I am completely booked for the next like 3 months. You know, I have no time for interviews, but please check back with me in August or whatever. We could do it then. So you'd think, oh, reaching out cold, you don't do that. But that only doesn't work if you're being sleazy and you're saying, I noticed you're doing this. Would you be interested in this? You know, the service I provide. No, I'm not selling them anything. I didn't mention once what my business was or anything like that. I didn't even mention an interview swap. I just invited them on my podcast and being of service to them. And then I have a great interview with them. I try to blow them away with the interview. And then at the end, that's when I, again, kind of the post-interview chat, right? I make sure they know I'm available to them. I try to be of service to them. I collect their information and I collect the information on who their ideal client is so that I can send them referrals if that opportunity arises. And I make sure they know that I ask them for that information. And then that is then when I would then make them aware about what my business is so that they could send me referrals if they, you know, come across anyone that does that. And then that is when I ask for an interview swap. And by that point, they're loving it. They're having a fun time. And they, assuming I even would fit as a guest, because sometimes, you know, if someone has a podcast talking to doctors or chiropractors or something, well, I'm not a chiropractor, so I probably wouldn't be a good fit. But if I'm a good fit and I offer myself as a guest, they always say yes. So that, if that answers your question, that's my strategy on kind of how I find people and how I get them on my podcast and how I go about building those relationships.
That's awesome. That was some gold right there. If any of you out there listening didn't catch all that and didn't write it down, go ahead, listen to this again and write that down, because Evan just dropped some thousands of dollars worth of value on you right there. That was awesome. And I was actually, you probably heard me typing in the background because I was taking some notes. So that is absolutely awesome.
And then I also want to throw in too, I sent a handwritten thank you card afterwards. I send that to all my podcast guests, and it's another way to really stand out afterwards. So I click there. So afterwards, I send them a message, like maybe a day later, asking for their address, if they're comfortable with it, to send them a thank you card. I've noticed that also gets a lot of really positive responses.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's kind of lost. I mean, you may get a email thank you, you may get a text message thank you, but beyond that, you won't get much. I mean, it's you don't get much as far as mail. Now, given exactly. In my area, we have issues with mail actually arriving, but that's all. It's a whole other story. But
well, it's mostly about the offer. If someone doesn't want it, then they'll say thank you so much. You know, you're good. Don't need to send one, but I really appreciate it. It still sticks with them. You know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's all about being of service. The Go Giver by Bob Berg is a huge inspiration for me in the world of business. It's a great book. Highly recommend. I got a lot of inspiration from that for, you know, how I came up with this strategy.
Well, it's a great strategy because it really sticks out in today. You know, usually a good percentage of people in business or wherever else, it's always asking for things. You know, what can I take from you instead of what can I give you? And just having that attitude is just, you know, refreshing. it's just great to see. Just really, I'm always thankful whenever people are like that. You know, I'm not a guy. I hate asking anybody for anything. I just don't like it. And like, you know, I just had my book launch today, and I knew as part of it, I needed to reach out to my contacts and say, hey, could you consider buying a book or leaving a review? Could you help me out here so I have a successful launch? And just despise doing that. That's just not me. I would much rather go buy some for somebody else or go do something and just, you know, not bring it out, but so that's a great attitude. What are the, when you have someone new to podcasting, what are the tips you start them out with? What are the things that, you know, you would tell somebody just to get them off the ground, just to get them moving? Because we both know that we can have all this information and all these strategies and everything, but unless you take that first step, none of it does us any good.
Right. Well, the number one first step, honestly, is just to start. I mean, a saying I heard a while ago that applies so perfectly to podcasting is, when was the best time to plant a tree? Well, the best time was 20 years ago, but the second best time is now. And that applies perfectly to podcasting because, especially if you don't have an audience, it does take some time to grow. And so you need to just start, even if you have no money or equipment. One of the most successful podcasts I've ever worked on, where the host was invited to speak, they was invited to speak on stage with some really high-level entrepreneurs. I'm pretty sure Gary Vee was even one of them. He was invited to speak on stage because the organizer of the event heard his podcast and liked it. And this client of mine, he records his podcast on his phone in the car on the way home from dropping his son off at school. And so you can't do it if you don't have an expensive, you know, studio setup or whatever. So I would say for someone who's looking to start and are inspired by this conversation, number one, start. Number two, make sure you get a strategy as far as why you want to start and who you're talking to and how it's going to fit in your business. And number three, as soon as you can, do upgrade your setup, because the better the audio quality is, the better the content is going to be for your listeners. So, but I mean, I didn't list that till number three, you know, so it's important, but it's not the number one thing. The number one thing is to just start. I honestly can't recommend that enough. And then, of course, paired with that is consistency. You have to, if you choose to release every Monday, I release every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I have an episode out every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday without fail, even if I have to stay up Thursday night and do it. Like, you have to be consistent, otherwise it's not going to work. That would be just, you just have to bite the bullet and start doing it and look up a 10-minute tutorial on YouTube if you seriously need to. But again, I have to just emphasize it. Just do it. Just start.
Awesome. That's a lot of episodes. Wow. Three a week, huh? Yep. Have you had better? Have you tried it any other way, or have you just always done three? Is that the path you've always taken, or?
Right. Well, I started out with one episode a week, but because this is my main business strategy, right? This is how I grow my network and build new relationships with either potential clients or people who could refer me potential clients. And of course, I just want to say really quick too, the key to doing this is to do it without expectations and to do it in a genuine way. So I'm not manipulating anyone into selling me anything. I don't even mention what I do until after you've recorded an episode. But as far as what you asked, as far as three episodes a week, I mainly just do that because I record so many episodes each week. I mean, I'll have like 1 to 3 podcast recordings a day, maybe more. I have my schedule open typically Monday through Thursday. So if I'm releasing one episode a week and I'm consistently recording like 5 to 10 episodes a week, then I don't want to tell someone when they ask when their episode is going to be released, oh, it'll be released in 6 months, in a year. So I pretty much just continually, I got to the point now where I'm up to 3 episodes a week just to make sure that I get the content out in a reasonable span of time, go at this rate. And if I continue to do this and if I book my schedule even more, which would be awesome, then maybe I'll up it to 4 or 5 episodes a week. But it really, there are no rules when it comes to this kind of thing. It is whatever works for you and, you know, however you do it. I will say the more you publish, the faster you'll grow. But it's not a rule. And, you know, I've worked on 6 shows that are equally successful where they release 1 episode a week or 5 episodes a week. So it depends.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. So I guess probably the last question, this may be actually, this may be the key. This may be, we just had some gold. This may be the platinum right here. At least it seems like it in my mind anyway. So, okay. So you've built this vast network of people that you're now connected with, that you've interviewed on your podcast. Is there any strategies or anything you're doing to try to continue to build those relationships or those connections so that somebody you interviewed 6 months ago can still be of benefit for your business, even if they don't become a client initially?
Right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it does come down to, I don't want to be too pushy, right? If someone isn't going to send me referrals or they're not in a position to do that, or they don't think to do that, then that's okay. And at the end of the day, there's only so much I can do. To keep the relationship alive, I try to have as many excuses to reach out as I can. So there's the initial message inviting them on the podcast. There's the conversation itself where I really try to blow them away with a memorable interview. There's the post-interview conversation, which is one of the most important parts where I, you know, collect their information and I make sure they really see in a genuine way that I am here to serve you and I'm here to help you in any way that I can. And I make sure that they know that and they see that. And that's when, after I do that, then I tell them what I do and I ask them, you know, if you know anyone that fits that description, and I have a very concise way that I just describe what I do. I tell them what I do and I ask them, if you know anybody and you're not already referring people to someone like me, then, I've got some spaces for clients I'd love to fill. Please send them my way and I would very much appreciate it. And they say, thank you. I think there's a lot of power in being direct and asking for something that you want. So I do that. And then maybe a day later, I reach out again, ask for their address for the thank you card. I handwrite them a thank you card. I mail it to them. So there's something. And then I ask for any other resources I need, like a headshot. And then there's the actual release of the episode where, you know, I release the episode and I make sure that they're notified of that. And then I'll, you know, usually follow up and just kind of ask them how they're doing then. And so I keep any excuse I can to reach out to them and make an impact in their lives. And if someone actually takes me up on my offer to help them with something, or if they're looking for a referral, because, I mean, I have a document where I collect this information, right, from all my guests on what their ideal client is. So I also always ask, like, are you looking for any services? I could have somebody I could refer you to. If someone takes me up on that offer, if someone is looking for something, then I will do my very best to actually put them in contact with someone that could help. And so that's what I found. It is a bit of a slow process because, again, there's only so much I can do. I can't force someone to give me referrals, but I just try, if I make a big impact in their lives, and if I am this example of doing something in a very genuine and authentic way, then I can only hope that they keep that in the back of their mind, are inspired by it. And if someone they know asks them about podcasting, I bet I'm going to be the first person they think of. So yeah, that's how that works for me.
That's awesome. So many great nuggets here today. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on. Is there anything else you'd like to share that you think maybe of benefit to our audience?
I don't think so. You just have to be, seriously have to be as genuine as you can. You cannot go into this thinking about the sales that you can make or how much money this person could pay you. You have to go into this not expecting any of that and not expecting anything to happen. Otherwise, if you are, it's going to come across and it's not going to work and you're going to come across as salesy. So that's, and by doing that, if I'm hard selling someone, then I know I did something very wrong somewhere down the line. Because this is an incredible tool for building a relationship. If someone really knows you and trusts you and likes you, then you're not going to have to hard sell them if that opportunity arises. So do that and it'll work out.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks again so much for coming on, Evan. I really enjoyed the conversation and I will most certainly be listening to it again a time or two to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I would encourage all of you out there to do the same. And as always, if there's anybody else that you really think could use this message, or if there's anybody else that you think that could use a conversation with Evan, his contact information will, of course, be in the show notes as always. Please feel free to share this, like it, check out, refer to the website, just get this message any way you can to someone that needs to hear it. Thanks so much. This has been Steve Schaubacher, the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.